Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily podcast on the Brooklyn Nets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Keep the trunk blasting, toe tagging, I'm riding past them. Before you let them ride with the team, you got to ask them. Who got snaps on the Petro? Keep it real, don't front, yo.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to the Locked On Nets podcast, your daily dose of Brooklyn Nets news, analysis, and interviews. I'm your host, David Wurzberger. Thank you very much for listening. Today, we have an awesome show. Joining us on today's Locked On Nets podcast, an assistant basketball coach with Marshall. Oh, you might know him better as Chris Duhon, former NBA point guard with the Bulls, with the Knicks, with the Magic, with the Lakers. Now he's coming on to talk to us about Kenny Atkinson. He actually played under Atkinson with the Knicks, and this being part of Kenny Atkinson week here at Locked On Nets. If you look at previous episodes, we talked to Brad Rowland of Peachtree Hoops about what we can see Atkinson take from the Hawks. We talked to some of the Nets guys at Media Day, see how they feel about their new coach. We talked to Coach Piper, X's and O's genius. He broke down what we might see from Atkinson schematically. And today we have a perspective from an actual player under Atkinson who spent a while under him. So that's going to be a fun interview. But before we get to that, we do have some fan questions that I want to get to. First from Yo B on Twitter. Think this team will be much improved in this area, which is defense. The Nets finished second to last defensively last year. So I think there's definitely a good chance they're going to improve. Schemes-wise, I don't think that's where the improvement will come. I think roster-wise, we'll actually see an improvement because Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is coming back healthy. That's first of all. Jeremy Lin, he's a little iffy. He's coming in replacing Jared Jack and Shane Larkin. Not the best defensive rotation point guard-wise, but Lin did receive credit for being improved defensively last year with Charlotte. I want to see how that looks against starting point guards full-time. But you look at the rest of the roster, they really bulked up on these young athletic wings, and they all really like to defend, judging by interviews, judging by what we've seen from them. So I think that alone should give Nets fans confidence in this defense to be a little better. I don't know about much better. I don't think this team will jump to, I don't know, let's say 16th or 17th place. I'm thinking maybe low to mid-20s, which is an improvement, and a defensive improvement really comes in sort of small steps. You're not going to go from worst defensive team to best defensive team in 1 year, so we'll have to be a little patient with that. This from Karis LeVert, Stan. I wonder who his favorite player is. With this large amount of cap space, will the Nets trade for bad contracts to gather assets like picks and young talent? I really love this question because last year I wrote an article basically saying how the Nets aren't in as bad a position to rebuild as people might think, and one of the reasons is because of cap space. And people responded with, oh, cap space, you know, the Nets aren't going to get a big free agent. It's not really, everyone has cap space. What's the big deal? Well, this is one thing the Nets could do is trade for bad contracts. And in return, they'd also get a draft pick, an intriguing young player. I'm not so sure they're going to do it, though. They already have 15 guaranteed contracts, and they're filled with a lot of young guys the Nets really like. And they're going to be playing a lot of minutes, I'd like to think. So I don't know where the roster space opens up to trade for that guy. They could just trade for him and waive him, so that might be one direction they go in. But I would like to see that's a really creative way to sort of use cap space in another way outside of actually signing players. And we all know the Philadelphia 76ers did this quite a bit. And this is from KC. Expectations for RHJ this year. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, I talked about him when I did hashtag NetsRank and when I talked to Sam Vecenie on an earlier podcast. I expect a good season from him. Hopefully he stays healthy. I think he's going to be the best defensive player on the roster. I think he's going to show some good improvement offensively when you look at what Atkinson might implement him in. And then maybe some of his own personal improvements. Maybe his jump shot's looking a little better. So I think he's going to have a really good season. I don't know about most improved, anything like that. I don't know about All-Star. But I do think he's going to put on a good sophomore campaign, probably going to make the rookie sophomore game. And it's just going to be really fun to watch him. I think he's the one guy Nets fans should be really excited about. And for our last question of the day, from TM. How many points does Jeremy Lin have to score in a game before the return of Linsanity? That's a hashtag, by the way. Hashtag the return of Linsanity is officially declared. This is an interesting question, man. We spent the whole episode on Jeremy Lin, which was actually the first ever Locked On Nets podcast with Howard Megdal. So I don't want to repeat everything that was said on there. He actually believes that Linsanity is coming back, or Linsanity level production. I think Linsanity level production can definitely come back. I think he can put up a lot of points. I think he can put up a lot of assists. I don't know about the efficiency, and I don't know about the defense. Those are the two things I'm worried about with Lin. But was it the points that really define Linsanity? Would that really mark the return of Linsanity? When I think Linsanity, and I'm a Knicks fan, so I love Linsanity more than any, you know, as much as anybody. I remember that it was a losing team with all these stars on it, and the stars were hurt, and everything seemed hopeless. And then not only did Lin come in and put up great numbers, but those great numbers translated into great wins, and a lot of them. So I don't think it's really Linsanity unless Lin carries his team to victories. In this season, I don't know how realistic that is, simply because, and it's not a fault on Jeremy Lin, it's just that Jeremy Lin is, in my opinion, an average starting point guard, maybe a little under that, and that's not a player that can lead a team to, I mean, there are only a handful of players you can throw on any given team and say, hey, go get us an extra 30, 40 wins, right? So with Lin, I think if he somehow is the main focal point behind a, let's say, 35-win net season this year, I'll call that Linsanity version 2, Linsanity Redux, whatever. That'll be so impressive to me if he can somehow lead this team to 35 wins. And it wouldn't be all on him, but if he's a main focal point in that, yeah, shoot, Linsanity's back. I don't think Linsanity can be measured in points, because I think he's going to get that either way on this team. Thank you guys for the questions. Make sure to submit more. So we're going to get to our interview with Chris Duhon. Before we do, quick note of business. If you're enjoying the podcast, and I know a lot of you are, I'm really, really glad, because when I took this, I knew there was a hole for me to fill for Nets fans getting their daily dose of Brooklyn Nets. I'm not going to say the whole shtick again. Getting their Nets content on the daily. And I'm glad I'm seeing a lot of your tweets saying you're enjoying it. And that means a lot. It really keeps it going. If you like it, share it with your friends. We're now on iTunes, so subscribe so you can get every episode right to your feed every morning. Rate it 5 stars so more Nets fans can find it on iTunes. If you want to sponsor the show, we're getting more and more listeners, so you can email us at lockedonnets@gmail.com if you're interested in sponsoring the show. We have affordable rates. And now we'll head to our interview with Chris Duhon.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Joining me now on the Locked On Nets podcast, Chris Duhon, Coach Chris Duhon, formerly NBA point guard with the Chicago Bulls, with the New York Knicks, with the Magic. How you doing?
Doing good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on. You're obviously a veteran of basketball in general, and now you're going into coaching. It's great to get your take on the new head coach. First, let me ask, have you been in touch with him lately? Have you talked about the new position at all?
I haven't. I kind of sent him a congratulatory text when he got the job, but I haven't talked to him. But, I have no doubt that, you know, he would do a great job.
Mm-hmm. And just with your time with the Knicks playing under Atkinson, can you tell us a bit about his personality, maybe away from the court? What about him as just a guy?
He's a hard worker. I mean, that's something that you love about Kenny. I was with him in New York, he was constantly in the gym, constantly working on his craft, constantly helping guys get better, constantly, you know, keeping himself in shape, making sure that he's, you know, doing what he needs to do. That's just how he is. You know, he's a grinder. He wants to be very good at whatever he does. And, that's why I think that, he'll have a great impact. with the Brooklyn Nets this year?
You know, the Nets have a lot of young guys, and just as a player, seeing one of your coaches work so hard at his job, how does that sort of motivate you to do the same?
Well, I mean, it's going to, you know, it kind of takes out the, you know, what it does is that because he's still fit enough to go out and show you how it's done. You know, so when you see your head coach and he's working hard, and I don't doubt that he'll be out there, you know, coming out of pick and rolls or, you know, defending or, you know, showing them exactly how he wants it done. You know, it gives you no excuses, you know, because you see your coach working hard at it. He's still in great enough shape to do it as well. So, I mean, you can't really slack or do it, you know, kind of halfway because, you know, your coach has the ability to pick up the intensity, you know, with each practice by him doing it himself.
Yeah, I remember a lot of the guys were saying how he's very hands-on, and so that could be beneficial. Talk to me a little bit about his basketball philosophies. What are some things you really believe are key for a team to win?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, defense. You know, defense is, you know, something that he wants to bring, you know, for them to be one of the top defensive teams. And then, but at the same time, you know, have the ability to score as well. You know, I'm, you know, kind of interested to see, you know, what system he brings in. You know, and obviously he has his own way of thinking as well. But he's, you know, he's been around some great people, some great coaches, and I'm pretty sure you'll see a touch of everyone in his style whenever they play.
And, you know, back when you were with him on the Knicks, what was something players and coaches would go to him for? What was his, I guess, specialty?
Well, with us, he was kind of our main workout guy. So when, you know, when the rookies came in and our other guys needed to really work and, you know, get better and improve their craft, you know, that's who you went with Kenny. I mean, because the intensity was always high, and he's going to make sure that, you know, he got the best out of you, and you always got a great workout with him. So he knew, you know, how we played. He knew, you know, with each position, what was asked of each position. And, you know, he always had something new and something, you know, entertaining for guys whenever he goes out and works out with them.
I know a lot of guys have been talking about his player development background, how he's really a player development guy. You personally, your game blossomed a lot in New York. Just from your perspective, how did he help grow your game?
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, he was always there. I mean, he was probably the first one there, and like I said, just getting in shape. And, you know, he seemed like he never got tired. You know, so when you're out there and you're going hard, and, you know, if you feel a little tired and you look at your coach and who's running just as much as you and making everything you do as realistic as possible, making it as game-like as possible every time, you know, just prepared you because, you know, you wasn't going out there just shooting just to shoot. You were shooting game speed, doing things at game speed, which, you know, translated to on the court.
Did you think back then playing for him that he had a future as a head coach in the league?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he was always, you know, watching film, getting ready, you know, had a great mind, was always observant. And, you know, I just knew that, you know, one day that he would get this opportunity, and, you know, I think that he would do a great job.
If you can, maybe take me back to, like, a memory or some story you have of him playing with him that sort of sticks out in your mind.
I mean, for me, just watching, you know, because I did a lot of my stuff with David Lee and Coach Dan D'Antoni, you know, just because we were figuring out our thing. But, you know, I'm looking at the other side with him and Tony Douglas. I mean, you know, they built like a great rapport. And, you know, I could just see, you know, just him and Tony there. There's no rebounder. There's nobody there rebounding. He's rebounding. They're going full court, and he's getting a rebound and pushing it and kicking it to Tony, and he's rebounding again. They're going back the other way. And, you know, they go, you know, 12 or 13 straight trips. And, you know, that's just kind of, you know, what he did. And like I said, he was in great shape. And, again, everything that they did was game speed and had a game-like feel to it. And, you know, that's something that I always remember of Kenny.
Given this conversation, I feel like I know where this answer is going to be, but you know, you're obviously pursuing a career in coaching here. What would you like? What's one thing you would want to borrow from him into your sort of coaching repertoire?
You know, just his temperament, just his, you know, being on every day. You know, there was not a day where, you know, you seen Kenny and, you know, he was off. He was always on his game. He was always in tune. He was always had the same temperament. You know, he was always ready to go to work. And there are no up and down days with him. And, you know, that was something I would love to take from him.
Coach Chris Duhon, thank you very much for coming up on the Lock On Nets. Anything you want to plug for yourself? Maybe, I don't know if you're, are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not on Twitter.
Well, tell the folks to watch your games, watch your team.
You know, just, you know, follow Marshall University basketball. We had a great year last year, fun and exciting to watch, bring back that kind of Phoenix and New York D'Antoni style to it. We should be on the move this year.
I believe that. Thank you very much again, Chris Duhon, NBA veteran, great basketball mind.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Have a good one.
That wraps it up for today's episode of Locked On Nets. Thank you guys very much for listening. 5 stars on iTunes will be much appreciated. Please subscribe to keep track of future episodes. You'll want to come back tomorrow, because today we had a former NBA player in. Tomorrow we have a former NBA coach, Herb Williams, formerly an assistant coach with the New York Knicks, coached with Kenny Atkinson. He's going to give us his take on Brooklyn's new head coach. You guys got to make it back for that. Thank you very much again. See you next time.
Let me get it one time. Fake the funk. Keep it real. Don't fake the funk. Let me see them hands high. Fake the funk.